Welcome back to the Make and Wellness Podcast. I am your host, Sarah Makin. Today's episode features Russ Sersosmo. He's the co-founder of Hemp Synergistics and is the author of Molecular Influence. We talk about all things related to mental health, CBD, and influence. Remember to leave us a positive review, follow the Make and Wellness Podcast, and share this episode with everyone in your network. Now, without further ado, here's my amazing interview with Russ. Russ, I'm so excited to have you on today.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, of course. So talk to us about your background and your interest in hemp.
So it's like you can tie them both together and how one played into the other. So I was actually in California. I started a tech company out there in around 2008. While I was out there, I was at a playground and I saw a mother with a child in a baby carriage, and she pulled out a joint and started smoking it. And on the other side of the playground was a cop. Nobody cared, right? Brought the tech company back to Pennsylvania, and I kind of had that always in the back of my mind that they were so desensitized to it back in California. We started to get word that a group of moms had started pushing legislators for legalization in PA of marijuana. And we jumped in, right? You know, taking what I knew about the little bit I knew, because, you know, on the East Coast, there was so much negative stigma toward it. You couldn't even say marijuana out loud without fear of like getting arrested, right?
Yeah.
So what happened is we came back to Pennsylvania and started working with the moms to kind of push for legislation. Well, at the time, the moms were like, we don't know if we want a bunch of guys coming in and helping us. We don't know what your interests are. I said, look, I just want to help people, right? Mm-hmm. So what happened was we went to a fundraiser at one of the highest profile patients' house. Her name was Hannah. And halfway through the fundraiser, I saw Hannah have a grand mal seizure. And it was really wild because she had it, froze, went back, and her head literally hit the concrete. Like, I mean, it was disgusting to hear. It was this hollow sound. And what was wild, you know, I have a psych background. So to see half the party scared to death, much like I was, as the ambulance came to take her away, you saw the other half so desensitized, right? They almost like looked at each other and said, hey, did you happen to check the chicken out on the buffet, or I'll get another drink? And to me, it was wild that they had seen that so many times over the years that it was just a normal occurrence, right? Mm-hmm. So I went back home, and about 2 weeks later, and I'll be honest, I didn't really put much thought into it other than like, I can't believe this is what they go through. Mm-hmm. Well, here 2 weeks later, my business partner at the time called me and said, hey, they just sent Hannah home from the hospital. She has 14 days to live. Her organs are shutting down. You have to find her this oil. And this was back in October of 2014. So, I mean, Pennsylvania didn't have it. Really, not many on the East Coast had it. And mm-hmm. we only had so many days to get it. So I felt like it was my duty. And here I picked up the phone and I called probably 50 different people in states, California, Colorado, like people that might be able to get me this paired with a lab test, because that was very important. There was no heavy metals in it. Mm-hmm. And within about 5 hours, I was on the phone with a university, which I got to keep quiet as to who it was, but a university and a guy that was researching cannabis and doing all kinds of compounding of the different molecules. And here, the lady that I got in touch with to contact him was funding it, and she threatened to pull his funding if he didn't get this for me. So
wow.
We managed to pull that together. So it took him a day to compound it. It was a Sunday after that, so we had to wait till Monday to get it overnighted. So she had about 10 days left on this death sentence. She was on her side, had a feeding tube in, was immobile for days. Here, we put one grain of rice, size cannabis oil, in her lip. Within 7 minutes, she was up swiping at the feeding tube to be taken out. And within half an hour, she had so much energy that her mother had to put a helmet on her. And that was October 2014, and she has never stopped since then. So fast forward, it's now 2021. She's almost 18 years old. She's communicating with her mom. Her quality of life has shot through the roof. In fact, her mother's quality of life has shot through the roof because of this. And she's down to, like, you know, maybe 5 major seizures a month. But all because of this, you know, one molecule or a few different molecules that are getting into her system. And if you go back to what happened right after that in 2014, we then teamed up with the moms and we went out and educated and we started the Pennsylvania Medical Cannabis Society. And, you know, from that point on, we did about 50 different events across 3 different states. So that's how I got into it. And it really took seeing what it did to somebody to really change my mind about everything. And it was, you know, I lost interest in my tech company literally overnight because it wasn't saving people. Or if it did, it wasn't fast enough. So that's how I jumped into it. And the rest is history.
Wow. So you saw how profoundly it impacted the life of this girl, and you really wanted to be able to help more people, essentially.
It changed my life. It literally changed my life. And I'm a guy that likes to help people, and to think, wow, this is so demonized. you know, I like to influence. That's my, you know, that's my thing. I'll show you the book about it later, but I felt like it was my duty to get up there and really hit the people that were radically opposing this with the right information at the right time and get rid of that cognitive dissonance that everybody's had really since like 1937 over this plant. So,
oh, yeah. And we've talked about cognitive dissonance before and how if you have this old belief and you're exposed to new information, sometimes it can be really hard to open up your mind and take in the new data-based research and accept it as true.
My favorite saying is cognitive dissonance is a bitch.
It definitely is. It definitely is. So Russ, what does CBD do and how can CBD help to improve your physical health?
So CBD works on the endocannabinoid system. And I think we might touch on that a little bit more later, but it satiates the endocannabinoid system, which modern medicine has found is now the 12th system of the body. So we have our respiratory system, you have your lymphatic, all these different systems in the body we've known for a long time. Well, now the endocannabinoid system is that 12th one, and it needs cannabinoids to reach a homeostatic state. The four major things that CBD is being found to work for is pain, inflammation, anxiety, and sleep. And basically, when you're getting that molecule, you know, it's helping with that kind of stuff. Now, there's a bunch of other stuff. There's CBN, CBG, CBC. They're all starting to find are working for, you know, targeting certain ailments, let's say. But generally, CBD works for those major four. And, you know, as you know, I mean, I think it's how many, 72 million people in the United States are on pain medication or in pain or something like that. So I think there's a lot of benefit that's coming for it. And as people start to see it on the news and all that, once they get in their system, they're starting to get off these things. And so it's really good for those four major things. And I think we're going to find a lot more about CBD as research is allowed to finally start doing things with it.
Yes, absolutely. Because it has been hard to conduct research before when cannabis was banned and it's hard to conduct research on things that are federally illegal.
Yeah, it's impossible.
Yeah. Or you do your own research.
That's right.
So is there a link between CBD and mental health?
I would say that there is. I mean, if you're in pain, that's going to screw you up mentally. If you're depressed, it's going to screw you up mentally. These things weigh on you. Your brain's like a processor. When you have something weighing on it, it's slowing down other things. In our real-time research, where we're giving people some of the things that we're formulating, you know, I'm finding out things from, I have a friend of mine that's a mom that has three kids. She's a single mom. She's working. She's, you know, executive PR person. She says that just giving her, you know, taking CBD really helps with getting her through the day, gives her energy, almost like acting like an adaptogen. I've noticed because it helps me sleep, my mental health is much better in the morning than it would be if I didn't get sleep. So I think they're going to start finding more things out. I know some studies are showing it helps with OCD. It is helping with depression. So I think there is going to be a tie to the two. And again, it all comes back to what I believe is a healthy endocannabinoid system. When all your stuff's working the way it's supposed to work to in your body, then the processes are all doing what they're supposed to. And you're just a healthier person in general.
Yes, absolutely. I love what you mentioned regarding sleep, because sleep is so important for your mental health. And there are a lot of patients that we see at Make Them Honest that will use their CBD at night, myself included, to help to improve the quality of your sleep. And it makes a huge difference for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Got my dad off of 20 years of Ambien.
Wow.
That's positive.
Yes, that's huge. It's really huge. So Russ, what do you do for your mental health?
Well, I was a guy that at one point was on 30 Ritalin a day. I had doctors literally giving me 30, well, Focalin. It was after Ritalin got the bad name, they split the isomer and they called it Focalin. Mm-hmm. They were using me as a guinea pig. And when I realized that, I had another doctor tell me, I said, Russ, they're killing you. And I quit cold turkey. And it was against
How
the
was
doctor.
That?
Oh, he said, Russ, you can't do that. He said, this is like getting off of crystal meth. That's exactly what he said. And I said, I'll do yoga. I'll meditate. I'll be fine. And I quit cold turkey and I gained 30 pounds in about 30 days. I was miserable. Wow. The first 2 weeks, I couldn't tell you what way was up and what was down. I felt like I was underwater. But what happened after that is the doctor said, you're going to be depressed for the rest of your life. And I listened to him. I started taking Prestique and all the stuff he had me on. And here what happened was I got off Prestique I went on vacation. I forgot it. And about 4 days into it, I started getting this weird feeling in my head. And I kept calling it brain waves. Like I had a magnet pulling me. So I called the doctor. I said, what the heck is up? He said, did you forget to take your antidepressants? And I said, yeah, why? And he said, Russ, you need to take those. You're going to be on these for the rest of your life. This is your life now. And I said, you know what? I just got off of all the folk. I mean, you're telling me you're gonna put me on something else. I'm gonna go figure this out for myself. Mm-hmm. And I researched what might be the precursor to that, ended up finding 5-HTP and started to learn how to kind of get myself out of it. From there, I wasn't depressed the rest of my life. Like he said, I watched The Secret. I learned how to vision board. I learned to play mental tricks on myself so that I didn't get any, into a scenario where that could happen. I'll give you an example. I lived in Arizona for about 6 years and I had never seen a scorpion. I moved into a new house. Mm-hmm. Day two after I'm in the new house, I see a scorpion. I wake up, there's a dead scorpion. I hear my dog killed. So my girlfriend at the time is freaking out because scorpions will kill dogs after one sting. I said, hey, don't worry about it. Next day, we found another one. So now this is happening over and over. There's a pattern in my head. Yeah. Right? Day three, another one. So I woke up on day four. I said, first of all, by day three, I'm stressed out. I mean, you can't walk around your house barefoot. You know, these things will kill you in certain states if they don't have certain remedies. I know in Arizona, they have this goat blood that ends up fixing it. In New Mexico, they don't. So they have like a lot more deaths. Anyways, mm-hmm. didn't want to get to that point. So what I did was that rather than fear living in my own house and turning every corner that I might step on a scorpion, I just changed my mind and said, you know what? I'm a scorpion hunter now and I'm going to collect these things. Mm-hmm. And no joke, that next day, it was a whole different way of thinking about it. And now me and the dogs are looking for scorpions with a black light every night. So little tricks I'll learn to plan myself so that you don't slip into something that can make you neurotic. I also changed my diet to being vegan. I mean, I think that really helped with everything. It just cleaned me out and really cleared my head. And so as far as mental health goes, I've had my ups and downs. It wasn't my fault. I was listening to a doctor and here, it pushed me down deep into those depths of depression. And you can get out of it. A lot of people, when they're down there, they don't think they can. And I see so many people nowadays that are depressed and it's like, I feel so bad because they can't necessarily think their way out of it. You almost have to figure it out yourself and go down those paths and get to that point. Otherwise, a lot of people succumb to modern medicine and end up taking antidepressants. But those are some of the things I do to really stay healthy and, work out and do all that stuff too. But ultimately, vision boarding via a whiteboard probably every night before I go to bed so that my next day is thought out, planned, and then it's just carrying out a strategy. And that seems to really make things easy as far as thinking goes.
Yeah. I love how you mentioned the vision boarding and that you watched The Secret, because that is a very inspirational documentary for sure. How do you do your vision boarding and your dream boarding?
So what I do is I'm a mind mapper. So I'm a Virgo, right? So Virgos think like an octopus. I always have eight things going on. I really do have. I got a band, a biotech company, a book. Like there's a lot going on at all times. And if I don't take the information and put it into certain channels and start to look at it that way, as opposed to I got 100,000 things to do, I typically do a mind map style where I'll start with the problem mm-hmm. and then I'll go out from there. Okay, I got this pocket. Now what do I have to worry about there? And I'll get it down to the almost like a choose your own adventure where I've already laid out every possible scenario whatsoever, because Virgos are also warriors. And we analyze to death, almost to the point that it's crippling, right? Paralysis mm-hmm. by analysis. But I've noticed that really helps, because again, then it's just carrying out a mission. And the key to everything, and I talk about this in my book, it's like the main thing I talk about, is you need to have a goal. You need to wake up every day with a goal. Otherwise, you're kind of like a free radical. But if you have your goal and that's laid out and you see it, I think there's a lot too with writing it and transferring it to the other side of your brain almost. I had a frontal lobe injury and I had to learn to do that to remember things. I couldn't remember anything. You could tell me something right now, I wouldn't remember in 2 seconds. But what happens is I noticed I'm lefty. If I write something down, it transferred to my right side of my brain. I saw it as a picture and now it's a different way to remember it. So it's been pretty neat. But vision, that's how I do it, is a whiteboard. I sit in front of it and I wait. So I have problem, figure out, choose your own adventure. And then I've literally lived my day or my week before I even started it.
That's amazing. It starts in your mind and then you put it into your vision board and then you end up acting upon those goals and taking steps to making them happen, which is amazing.
Yeah, if you can think it, you can do it.
That is so true. If you can think it, you can do it, everyone.
That's right. Don't stop thinking, don't stop doing. You'd be surprised where you'd be in a year.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. So I am very curious and excited to hear about your latest book, Molecular Influence. Could you talk to me and our audience about it?
Yeah. So basically, it's coming out in about 3 weeks. The final version is getting sent from the printer here for a proof, and then we should have it turned around in a couple of weeks. Basically, the backstory is this. My grandpa was a magician.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So I was the oldest grandchild, and because of that, I was often set up in the trick, right? So I learned at 5, 6 years old how to set up a room. So he might say, hey, Russ, listen, here's what's going on. We're going to go in and we're going to put you in this box. We're going to cut you in half. Here's what you need to do. As long as you do this, they're not going to know that we didn't cut you in half. Now, I'm a young kid knowing damn well I'm not getting cut in half, but yet you hear the audience go, right? So the strategy played out. Fast forward about 2 years, here my dad started bringing me to the Pittsburgh Home and Garden Show. My dad started Guardian Protection Services, a home security company, and I was his pawn. I would ring kids in, and he would have an opportunity to say to the parents, hey, you'd hate to lose your kid in a fire, wouldn't you? Like, you need a security system. Well, the guy across the aisle every single year at the Home and Garden Show was a guy named Billy Mays, right? The OxyClean guy, if you remember.
Oh, my gosh. I remember Billy, him.
And he's just a McKees Rocks guy. So my family's from McKees Rocks. His family's from McKees Rocks. And my dad knew him. This was way before he was famous. He was just a hustler, right? Mm-hmm. What I saw is he every year he'd have something cool, like Wash-O-Matic, Salsa-Matic, Veg-O-Matic. It was something that did what you already did, but just a little bit faster, better. And for like $20, right? Uh-huh. So here I would watch my dad talk to 1,100 people to get one person to buy an alarm system. And here, Billy, every person he talked to would buy two of these mops. Mm-hmm. So the moment that really changed my life is I saw a couple walk past me. They were close enough that they were in earshot. They both had two of these yellow mops that he was selling. And the wife looks at the husband and says, you know, it really stinks that you can only buy two of these. And right there, that's all it took, the magician side of me, to realize that Billy was creating a trick in which they picked the card that he wanted, right? Wow. And I wanted to figure out how to do that. So I walked up to him and I said, Mr. Mays, I'd love to do what you do, but better, right? Smart ass kid. So here, he said, all right, kid, I want you to come stand next to me when I call my next group up. And he was on a 12-inch riser stage, had his earpiece in. He looked just like he looks now. And he said, I want you to stand next to me and you're going to see what I do. One by one, I'm going to pick each one of the audience members off. And then at the end, I'm going to hit them with an offer they can't refuse, which we now know as, but wait, there's more. Back then, that's what they call it. So here, it kind of went over my head at 7 years old. But I stood next to him. He had about 20 or 30 people sitting around him. And he said to the moms, hey, did you ever spill marinara sauce on your grout? And, you know, you see like six out of the 10 women shake their head. And he says, now watch this. And he spills marinara sauce, picks it up. And now that he won them over, you see their eyes. Then he said to the husbands are kind of shaking their head. Like, who cares? What do they care about marinara? The thing he says, well, then did you guys ever spill motor oil in your garage floor? And you see all of a sudden the men going, yeah, yeah. And he goes, watch this. If you buy today, I'm going to throw in this special, whatever it was, like it's something that just picked up oil. Right. So he throws it down, picks up oil. The guys are all one of them. Now the kids want to try it. You know, it's the circus of awesome. Yeah. And at the end, he says, I'll tell you what, you all know somebody that could benefit from one of these. Maybe it's your parents. You can give it to them for Christmas. If you buy today, I'll give you two for one. And all of a sudden, hand over fist, everyone's jumping over him to buy one of these. And that really sent me in a certain direction in life, to see that you could systematically do this, whether it was magic, whether it was sales. And here then I went to psych school and worked with rats in a Skinner box. And you know what that's like. I mean, when you learn how an animal learns, you realize, oh, humans are the same. They just lie. You know, like, you can lie, but exactly. Rats can't lie. So now when you learn how to create a heuristic in someone's brain, you can do a lot with that, right? And that played with cannabis, where I had to bring, you know, win people over from being radically opposed and all that. Mm-hmm. But ultimately from there, I went into sales and eventually started my own companies. I'll pat myself on the back, but I was always the best salesman we had. And it was because I realized I had a systematic approach to things that the other people weren't catching on. And that's because since I was five, this is what I cared about. And this is what my eyeballs actually had seen. Mm-hmm. So the book kind of, there's a framework I've developed where if you know your goal, you make sure that your first impression is right, because anchoring information is extremely, extremely influential, good or bad. Mm-hmm. And then you plan out your exposure points to somebody. I'm going to see them here for coffee. I'm going to see them here for another meeting. I'm going to see them here. I want to keep them in a social norm as opposed to a market norm as long as I can. And then when the timing's
right. What do you mean by social versus market norm?
So think about this. So, you know, you have friends, everyone has their friends, and you guys are in a social norm. Like you have different type of conversations with people. They can ask you things they typically wouldn't. Then you lend your friend $500, 8 months, 10 months, 2 years is going by, your friend's not paying you. You start to get pissed. The reason is because that money transferred hands, you switched into what's called a market norm, where there's a business transaction, and it changes the way you look at certain things and relationships. If you can keep people out of that market, right? I mean, like for instance, if you go to walk on a car lot, immediately people go into that market, right? Because they know someone's trying to sell them something. Well, if someone's able to come from the side, they act like they don't work there. They're talking about a car. They go have another conversation. They come back and you just think there's somebody else. You're in that social norm until they hit you with a, hey, I work here. And you know, it's me versus you on this negotiation. But if you can keep people in that social norm as long as you can, you have more ability to build that rapport up without the defense mechanisms kicking in.
People are essentially more open.
Big time. So then just to finish up the book, you know, Dr. Robert Cialdini came out with a book called Persuasion or Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion.
I love that book. Yes.
He's awesome. He's my hero. But he had six, what he calls weapons of influence. So I take those six and then I take Archimedes' modes of persuasion, you know, where he talked about getting on stage and ethos, pathos, logos. Mm-hmm. And I smash those two together, and that with that in the middle of the framework with the other stuff that you're worrying about, knowing the other psych things that you have to worry about, I would say that someone that follows this framework, whatever your goal is, and your goal is typically to sell something, you know, raise money, whatever it is, you can hit 90%, 90% close rate or 90% success rate if you just know exactly what to stay away from, what to give the human's brain across the table from you so that they kind of have homeostasis in their brain. You know, they achieve homeostasis and can comfortably make a decision, and that's the decision you want them to make. So the whole book goes through. It's not a long read. It's only like 170 pages, something like that, but it's strong. And the feedback on it with the first pass that we went through is, this is one of the better books I ever read on psychology. It's amazing you were able to integrate these two because it's easy to follow. So in a nutshell, that's the book. It's called Molecular Influence, and it will be available on the molecularinfluence.com website in about 3 weeks. You can go sign up now to pre-order if you want to do that now, and we'll alert you when it's ready.
So exciting. I was wondering, what is one thing someone can do today to start to be a more influential person?
Be likable. Like, be as likable as you possibly can, right? Now, if you think about it as in terms of a frequency, right? Like, if someone's playing good music, you're on the same frequency, same vibe. You know, you go, you're listening, all of a sudden you're starting to dance. You know, think about that at a molecular level, you know, that you need to create that in someone so that they are more apt to do business with you or like you. You know, oxytocin, norepinephrine, you know, that kind of stuff. When you can get that stuff going in someone's brain, they'll do business with you. I like thinking about, you know, think about times you've done business with people. You typically do business with people you like. Like, if you're choosing a real estate agent, it's someone you like. If you have choices to buy something, you go to a place where you like the vibe. And that's what it comes down to, is can you create a frequency that harmonizes with people around you? And, you know, from that point, it's easy to influence because now you're all friends and they like you for that vibe. And I think that's extremely important, frequency.
Oh, it definitely is. You want to be around like-minded type of people. And if you are a listener tuning in and you have a business or you are in business, it's a lot easier to be happier and less stressed out when you're working with people that you like and that you get along with, for sure.
Honest to God, similarity is key. It's actually something that it's come with time. I mean, things that are not similar to us, our defense mechanisms kick in. So the more similar you can be, I mean, they used to have, when tribes from different parts of the world met on a trail, they would typically sit down and try to find common connections, or else one of them ended up dead. And that was all based on similarity. And if they were dissimilar, it was potential enemy.
Wow. This is really fascinating stuff. I'm really excited to read Molecular Influence.
I'm going to send you a copy.
Yes, I cannot wait. I will be sure to read it. I've heard you talk about it and other people talk about how awesome of a book it is. I'm really excited to check it out. And how can our community connect with you, Russ?
Best way is LinkedIn. I'm on it every day. We're very active. Company's very active. But yeah, hit me up on LinkedIn, Russ or Sosima. Start a conversation.
Awesome. Sounds great. Make sure you check out Russ's latest book, Molecular Influence, and follow him on LinkedIn. Thanks so much for joining us, Russ. And I really appreciate you being on this podcast with me.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. It was great. You're doing great.
Thanks, you too.
You got it. See ya.
That was my interview with Russ. As you can tell, Russ is a very passionate person and cares so much about CBD and psychology. I cannot wait to check out his book. Leave us a positive review. Let your friends know about the Make and Wellness podcast. And be sure to check us out at makeandwellness.com, where you can gain access to our exclusive newsletter, Wellness Today, and find hundreds of mental health articles and resources. Please practice some self-care. And until next time, everyone, please be well.
We appreciate you joining us for this installment of the Make and Wellness Podcast. Help us find more great listeners like yourself by subscribing, rating, reviewing, and sharing the show. Visit makeandwellness.com for more in-depth resources geared towards improving your mental health. We look forward to speaking with you again at our next session.